supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
NASA's Voyager 1 spacecraft launched 40 years ago tomorrow. It's still sending signals back to Earth. Let's follow its path with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, I'm a little confused. Now, Voyager 1 was part of a pair, but it left after Voyager 2. Did somebody make a mistake with the decals?
What actually happened was the trajectory that Voyager 2 and Voyager 1 would take were different trajectories, and the velocity of Voyager 1 would eventually overtake Voyager 2 on its way to the outer reaches of the solar system. The initial mission for these two was to look at the gas giants of our solar system in the outer reaches, Jupiter, Saturn. Those were the primary targets, and to bring us the first close-up images of these planets with their systems of moons, and also to bring us the first close-up images of the rings of Saturn.
But those targets and goals were attained a long time ago. Did scientists and astronomers in 1977 foresee still being able to maintain contact in 2017?
You know, I would bet that in their deepest dreams and fondest hopes and wishes that this would still be the case. But the primary mission was not anticipated as being this long. Those two spacecraft, 40 years later, are still doing good science and still sending us science data that tells us about the outer reaches of the solar system. These are our emissaries out into interstellar space.
But 40 years on, they're still within our solar system?
Well, that's debatable, actually. It seems as if they are now approaching what we think of as the outer boundary of our solar system, and that is the heliopause. That's the outer boundary of the reach of the sun's solar wind. So the electromagnetic particles that are generated by the sun reach out this far, but beyond this point, their influence is now becoming weaker than the influence of the surrounding interstellar space. Where one of the spacecraft is now at almost 13 billion miles out, we're starting to see this really interesting effect where the sensors on the spacecraft are sensing mostly solar wind and then not mostly solar wind, and then solar wind again, and then not mostly solar wind. And what this is showing us is that this far reach of the sun's field of electromagnetic particles really oscillates back and forth at its boundary. And pretty soon, within another billion miles or so, it will be fully outside that edge and into interstellar space.
Put those numbers in some perspective.
Well, if we go with the 13 billion miles where Voyager 1 is right now, that's 139 times the distance between the Earth and the sun. 139 times. One of the spacecraft is out of the plane of the solar system's orbits, and so it's traveling in a totally different trajectory. And the two of them really are expected to continue traveling on forever as long as nothing or no one interferes with them.
So it must take hours now at the speed of light for a signal to reach us.
Yes, the signal time is something like 16 hours to get a signal. And the signals are incredibly, incredibly weak, like millionths of a watt, if not weaker than that. So it's quite the chore for us to keep up with the spacecraft because of their extraordinary distance and the very, very, very weak signal. It takes almost the full capacity of our radio telescope network system around the world to hold on to the signal, understanding where the spacecraft are, and maintaining contact with them.
You know, this is almost the stuff of science fiction, as was envisioned in a show, Star Trek, some 51 years ago.
Yes, you might ask, which came first, the spacecraft and the actual exploration or the fantasy of this? And, you know, temporally speaking, it seems as if Star Trek came first. But, of course, the ideas for the Voyager spacecraft were on the table way before this. But, yes, it was 51 years ago, Thursday this week, that the first in the series of Star Trek programs. The original Star Trek series aired on NBC. The program had three seasons, a real hit in syndication, and eventually became a cult classic, as we all know, spawning how many series in the Star Trek mode?
You know, it said there was a big spike in applications to law school with the success of L.A. Law, and I'm wondering if Star Trek inspired many to go into science and or astronomy.
I wouldn't be surprised at all that that would be the case, especially considering that the Apollo program that was coming along at the same time and with the first man landing on the moon in 1969 with the demise of the Star Trek series, but the continuation of lunar exploration and then the development of the space shuttle program, I think that certainly did inspire quite a number of people to consider entering this field through engineering. We now certainly can see how that tailed off after the beginning of the space shuttle program, but we may be seeing a resurgence in that now with the commercialization of space through companies like Virgin Galactic and SpaceX and all of the others, Blue Origin, that are opening doors to low Earth orbit for much lower prices with the same kind of reliability and safety.
I'm sure Voyager aficionados are rooting for that resurgence to the extent that it will take continuing funding to make sure we can hone in on those craft so very far away.
Well, that's a really great question. I mean, it's expensive, and when we look at how NASA's budget is set up, one of the things that's always at a risk is maintaining contact with these spacecraft, because even though they are still collecting very valuable data for us, how do we balance the cost of maintaining contact with those spacecraft versus how those funds can be used for other space probes that might provide information that's more important for planet Earth, for example?
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.